scriptures, please. Chapter number 6. Judges 6, let's read verse 6, and then verse 14 and 15.
So on the second day, they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. They did this for 6 days. On the seventh day, they got up at daybreak. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm in Joshua.
Okay. I'll tell you what, that lady doesn't make many mistakes, I guarantee. But the problem is, when you make them, everybody knows it.
Thank you for your patience. Would you give me the text again? Now I've forgotten.
Judges. Judges. Chapter number 6. Verse 6 and then verse 14 and 15.
Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help. But Lord Gideon asked, "How can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." The Lord answered, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together."
I want to share with you this morning, go in the strength you have. Go in the strength you have. Hostile tribes invaded Israel. But they not only invaded Israel, they basically took over the land. And they began a program of systematic terrorism. They began eating everything that was in sight, and the crops they could not eat, they trampled underfoot and ruined them. These hostile tribes completely were trying to eradicate God's people, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Israel was impoverished. People were starving. People were giving up hope on this God, this invisible God that seemed to never answer prayer. The Lord intervened. He spoke to a young man named Gideon and said, "Mr. Gideon, I have chosen you. I have chosen you to lead my people in victory. Go in the strength you have and save Israel." Now, Gideon wasn't a warrior. As far as we know, he had no military training at all. He was an ordinary farmer. Well, he was a pretty terrified farmer. He was terrified of the enemy as well as everybody else. But the Lord appeared and said, "Gideon, go in the strength you have and save Israel." Now Gideon could see the Lord, the angel of the Lord, and Gideon heard his words. "Go in the strength you have and save Israel." But Gideon could not believe his ears. Basically, he said to the angel of the Lord, What strength? How can I save Israel? My family is the least in Israel. And on top of that, I am the least in my family. God, you've chosen of nobody to do nothing. God, are you sure you came to the right address? How can I save Israel? God, I feel so weak. I wish I felt strong. If I just felt strength, yes, I would obey you, God. But I don't feel strong. I can't save Israel. And as I read that, I was reminded of you and me. So often we say, "I would witness if I just knew how." Or, I would believe God for more miracles if I just was an Apostle Paul. Or I would do this for God, or I would do that for God, but I don't have strength. Who am I? What strength, God? You tell me to go in my strength. What strength is there? We fail to spend time with Him in private praise and worship and thanksgiving. We don't read His Word because we're like Gideon. We go simply by feelings. We live by feelings alone. They didn't feel strong. And so they said, "God, I can't go. you know? He did go. But let me share with you how to go, witness, how to be a man of the word, how to be a woman of prayer, how to give your love away to others, how to do the will of God in your life. You can find the strength. You can find the strength to have faith. You can find the strength to believe God. How do we go in the strength we have? Well, we keep our eyes on the one sending you. If God is motivating you to call somebody, to encourage them, and you don't feel like you can or you keep neglecting it, the problem is you've taken your eyes off of the one who's sending you. If God is motivating you to go pray for somebody or to tell some neighbor about Jesus and you're reluctant and you're holding back and you're holding back, God is saying you have your eyes, your attention on the wrong person. Notice what he said to Gideon. Please, take a pencil or a piece of paper and mark chapter 6 of Judges. Let's reread what the Lord said to Gideon. Chapter 6, verse 14.
The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel."
Here, Gideon was saying, "God, I can't go. I can't save it. I'm nobody." And what did God ask him? Notice the question God asked. In verse number 14,
"Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?"
God was asking him a question to turn his attention from his weakness to God's strength. You see, God intended to remove Gideon's attention from Gideon to the Lord. That's why he asked him the question. I mean, it seems like a foolish question, a totally unnecessary question, but it's a very necessary question because he was saying, "God, Gideon, get your eyes off yourself and onto me. Turn your attention upward." No human possesses the strength to do God's will. None of us possess the strength naturally to do the will of God. So God never asked humans to do divine work through human power. He never asked you to witness to your neighbor. He never asked you to share your faith. He never asked you to read the Bible. He never asked you to hunger after prayer in your own strength. You can't do it. You're lost. You're sunk. He's saying, "Hey, I'll tell you what to do, and then I'll provide the power to do it." That's the way God works. That's the way He's always operated. He says, you can do God's will through God's power. He intends for us to do His will through His power. Please go with me to Psalm number 57, verse number 2. Beautiful statement of a man who felt so hopeless. A man who wanted to do God's will. He wanted to lead Israel. But things just weren't working out. Psalm 57, verse 2, David wrote,
"I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills His purpose for me."
David said, "I'm going to cry out to God." And then he points out, which God? The God who fulfills His purpose for me. That was his hope. David wasn't trying to do God's will on his own. He was saying, "Hey, I'll give myself to God, and then God will do His own will. God fulfills His purpose for me."
Yeah.
That's what God was saying to Gideon. "Gideon, I want to use you to save my people Israel." And Gideon was saying, "No, not me, God. I can't." But God was saying, "Gideon, you can do it. You can do it through me." Look at what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 138, verse number 8. Psalm 138, verse number 8, beautiful verse.
"The Lord will fulfill His purpose for me. Your love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands."
The first part of the verse, "The Lord will fulfill His purpose for me." So God is just saying to you and me, "Hey, turn your eyes from yourself. Turn your eyes from your weaknesses. Turn your eyes from your failures. Turn your attention from yourself up to God, because He's the one who does the work." God always lifts our attention to His power. You know, the people in the Bible were just ordinary folks like us. They weren't people who walked 3 feet off the ground and some kind of saintly people. They were just folks like us. And so the Bible records all of Moses' struggles to accept God's will for his life. Let me share with you from Moses, Moses' words in Exodus, please, chapter number 4. Here was God speaking to Moses and Moses giving God all kind of reasons why he could not do God's will. Exodus chapter 4, please, verses 10 through 12.
Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. The Lord said to him, Who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say.
Here in verse number 12, let's look at God's words again.
Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to
Moses
say.
Moses was saying, God, I can't speak well. I've never been eloquent. But God, again, as with Gideon, he was saying, Moses, you're looking at the wrong person. In verse 12, he said, Moses, I'm going to go with you. I will teach you what to speak. I will help you know what to say. So, brother, sister, if you want to go do God's will in your life, in every area of your life, and be everything that God ever intended for you to be, quit looking at yourself. Quit looking at the mirror and look up. You know, years ago, there was a lady that I guess Louise knows, Lavinia Salinas. Lavinia worked for Exxon for 14 years and in various capacities as secretary, and then she came to be secretary of our church in Kingsville. And soon after that, I approached Lavinia about being a minister of prayer. Now, Lavinia was basically, on the surface, at least a very timid person. Lavinia said, Pastor, I could never do that. I could never stand up in front of people. Not me. I said, well, just think about it a while. And so a week, 2 weeks later, Lavinia and I met again. I guess she was working for us at that time. And she came into the office and I said, Lavinia, what about minister of prayer? She said, Pastor, you really think I could do it? I said, sure, Lavinia, let's go to the scriptures and share with her some scriptures. And soon she joined our ministers of prayer group. She stood up in front of the 300 people or so we were having in church one Sunday morning along with other ministers of prayer. And she prayed boldly. I couldn't believe the way the power of God helped her. But that's only the beginning of the story. Did you know that God opened an opportunity for her to be on one of the Kingsville radio stations every Sunday morning? And without any hesitation, without any timidity, without any nervousness or fear, you can listen to Lavinia 8:30 every Sunday morning on the radio. This little bitty timid ex-Catholic lady was turned into a lion because she went in the strength she had and turned her eyes to God. So who knows how God can use you and minister to you and minister through you. Look at what God had to say to Joshua, another one of Israel's leaders. Joshua, please. Chapter number 1, verse number 9. Joshua 1, number 9.
Have I not commanded you?
There's the question again. God likes questions. He must be a school teacher, Linda. He likes questions. Have not I sent you? Is it not me, Joshua? He was saying, Joshua, quit being timid. Quit being backward. Quit being scared. Joshua, do the will of God. Be the will of God. Because I am the sender. You are the sent one. You see, God was saying to Gideon, I am the sender. And the sender is always the source of sufficient energy. The one who sends you into the world to witness about Jesus is a source of sufficient energy. The one who wants to use you to encourage and build up the body of Christ, he has the sufficient energy for you to be a bold sharer of encouragement. Whatever God wants you to do, and whatever you want to do for God, you can do if you lift up your attention and see only the Lord. As you see His power, your fear of your weakness would evaporate. Let me ask you to go to Isaiah 41, verse number 10. Book of Isaiah, chapter 41, verse number 10. Beautiful little verse here that encourages us. Here it says,
"So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand."
There it is. But the third statement of the verse, "I will strengthen you." I will strengthen you. God is just waiting for the opportunity to send to you, to surge through you with superhuman energy and power. So, brother, sister, quit talking yourself out of doing the will of God. Quit convincing yourself that you're incapable. I was impressed with a story my dad told me. Of course, my dad was not a minister. He was a businessman, and my mom also worked, especially when I went to college. So my parents were just ordinary church folks who loved the Lord Jesus. But Dad said, one morning as he was shaving, he felt this very, very great impression that he needed to go see a fellow worker of his. And at first, Dad was like you and me. He said, "Oh, no, that's not the Lord." You ever said that to yourself? "Oh, no. That just came in my head." And it just wouldn't go away. The thought, the idea that he should go share with this person just would not evaporate. I don't know if it was that day or two or three days later. Dad finally went to that man and told him about Jesus Christ. Just a few days later, that man was dead. That man received Jesus Christ as his personal Savior and then went to heaven just a few days later. So you see, brother, sister, did you know God's depending on you? We talk about depending on God. Well, God's depending on us. It's a two-way street. God needs you. God wants to use you. God wants to bless you. I heard just one time, one lady was saying to this guy, "Oh, I thought about calling your wife the other day, but I just thought maybe she's too busy. Maybe I shouldn't do it. Maybe bother her." And the husband of this wife said, "Oh, she needed your call that day. She needed it. That would have been such a blessing to her." So, brother, sister, please lift up your eyes to the Lord, the one who called you into His service. And listen to those nudges from the Holy Spirit. Listen to the Holy Spirit when He's motivating you to reach out. People need the Lord, and they need you. Remember the story I've told you before from the Reader's Digest? The little boy, 3, 4, maybe 5 years old. The whole family's asleep in their various bedrooms one night, and suddenly a thunder and lightning storm and pounding rain comes. And the little boy wakes up because of the noise and lightning flashes coming through his window. The light, not the actual lightning bolt, but the lightning flash. He goes to his daddy's bedroom. Daddy and mama are just sleeping there. After a while, the father sensed something was in the room, and he opened his eyes, and there's the little one standing beside the bed. The daddy said, "Son, what are you doing?" The little one said, "Well, Daddy, hot as north is scaring me. The father said, well, Jesus is with you. Why are you afraid? The little boy said, well, Daddy, I know Jesus is with me, but I need somebody with skin on. Every one of us needs somebody with skin on. And so the Lord is saying to all of you folks who love him, hey, listen, turn your eyes up to me, keep your eyes on me, and go out to your job, and go to your home, and go into your life, knowing that I'm behind you, I sent you into the world. In fact, let's go to John. John's Gospel, chapter 20. I'm not sure the verse, maybe verse 20, chapter 20, verse 21.
Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you.
That verse is to everybody in this building. Jesus is saying, as the Father sent me to the world, I'm sending Jeremy into the world. As the Father sent me into the world, I'm sending Louise into the world. As the Father sent me into the world, I'm sending David and Brenda into the world. Every one of us are sent ones. So the Lord is saying to you and me, hey, keep your eyes on me. I'll give you the strength. I remember the first time I witnessed. I went back to school my senior year at high school, a Christian. I left at the end of my junior year, a non-Christian. During the summer between my junior and senior year, I received Jesus as my Savior, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, went back to school. First of all, everybody had to become convinced that I was real. There were such drastic changes in my behavior and my life. But after a few months, in fact, it was about the Christmas holidays of my senior year, I got this book from my parents. It was on how to witness. And I read this book, and I studied the book, and I memorized the scriptures. And so I called Tom, one of my old buddies from high school. And, of course, Tom had seen the drastic changes in my life, and he said, yeah, come on over, James. Probably a Saturday, if I recall correctly. I went over there for one purpose, and that was to tell Tom about Jesus. And I was so nervous. I got so scared, I couldn't remember one of those scriptures I'd memorized. I mean, I was petrified, and all I was able to do was tell Tom. In fact, Tom asked me, James, what has changed you? What's happened to you? And I just told him, and I went home feeling like the world's biggest failure because I couldn't remember any of those scriptures I memorized to lead Tom to Jesus. And I didn't lead him to Jesus. I just told him what had happened to me. 2 days later, Tom called, and we had a third good friend. Right now, I do not recall his name. We'll call him Gary. And Tom said, hey, Gary and I want to come over, and I want you to tell me more about what you were talking about the other day. So I took all those scriptures and I wrote them down, and I put it on the coffee table so I wouldn't forget them. And Tom received Jesus as his Savior. Started going to church with me the old Faith Assembly. So you see, brother, sister, don't poke yourself out of it. Keep your eyes on the Lord. You are a sent one. If you want to go do God's will, if you want to go in the strength you have to do God's will by taking the first step in your strength. If you want to do God's will, you have to take the first step toward doing God's will in your strength. Would you go with me again to God's words to Gideon, Judges again, please. Chapter number 6. Judges chapter number 6 and verse number 14.
The Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have.
Notice those words. His command was to go in the strength you have. He didn't say go in divine strength. He didn't even mention God's power. He said, Gideon, you need to take the first step toward doing my will. You have to take the first step in your strength. And that's where so many of us freeze up. We want God to push us out of the boat. We want to feel this great surge of superhuman wisdom before we go witness. We want to feel this great lightning bolt of superhuman energy spark through our lives before we pick up the phone and call that brother or sister we've been thinking about. God was saying to Gideon, Gideon, you've told me everything that's wrong with you. Gideon, you've given me every reason why you can't do my will. But Gideon, you've got to quit that. You need to concentrate on what you have, not what you lack. Faith always concentrates on what we have, not what we lack. Unbelief and doubt always focuses your thoughts upon your inabilities, your lack of talent, your past failures. And as long as people concentrate and think about and meditate on their lacks, they never take a step of faith and never do anything for God. But God will say, Gideon, go in the strength you have. Take the first step in doing my will in your own power. This is such a real verse to me because of, well, actually, as I was mentioning my salvation, I remember it. It was in June, just after my junior year in high school. I was in church on a Sunday morning. It was a pretty full church building that morning. Of course, I was a self-conscious teenager. And yet, I don't remember what the preacher preached that morning, but I know the Holy Spirit touched me. And I, without any of my teenage friends going with me, in fact, I was the only person who went to the front of the church that morning. And I'll guarantee you, I didn't feel anything. I didn't feel a thing. I just believed. I asked God to forgive me of my sins, and He did it. 2 months later, I was at a youth camp. And for 5 nights, I prayed and to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The counselors prayed for me. My friends prayed for me. The camp evangelist prayed for me. Everybody, I imagine even the crickets and the grasshoppers would have prayed for me if I'd asked them. But for 5 nights, there was nothing happening in my life. Until about midnight of the 5th night, the camp had already been dismissed and we're getting ready to go home the next morning. A bunch of us guys went back to the tabernacle just to spend time, some more time with the Lord. And there we were out of it. It was an open-air tabernacle. And I was so discouraged and so despondent and so blue because I hadn't received the Holy Spirit. And as I was feeling this way, basically God said, James, speak in the strength you have. You see, I was waiting for the Holy Spirit to come on me and take hold of my tongue and shake it. I was waiting on this emotional surge to touch me from head to toe, and then I would speak. But the Lord was saying, James, go on the strength you have. And without anybody praying for me, nobody around me, I took a step of faith without any feelings, without any type of emotional sensation. And I spoke something that I didn't know. It wasn't in my head. I just made a noise. And immediately, the Holy Spirit honored that faith. And the prayer language flowed out of my life. Like we saw a friend of mine who was there the other day. He now pastors in Houston. Just accidentally ran into him in town. First thing Mike said was, James, remember that night you received the Holy Spirit? You spoke in tongues 4 hours. But I had to take the first step in my strength. And then God did the rest. Let me show you the result of concentrating your attention upon what you lack. Please read with me from Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 14. Matthew 14, here's the human way of responding When God says, go in the strength you have to witness. Go in the strength you have to be a prayer warrior. Go in the strength you have to read my word. Here's what we do. Matthew 14, verse 14, 15 through 18.
As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food. Jesus replied, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. 18. Bring them here to me, he said.
Here were the apostles. Jesus said, hey, feed the multitude. And immediately, what did they do? Just like you and me. Oh, we can't, Jesus. We're unable, Jesus. We're not prepared, Jesus. We don't have the strength, Jesus. There's not the provision, Jesus. All they could think about was what they lacked. And when you think about what you lack, you forget about what God has. When you're thinking about what you don't have, you're forgetting about what God has. So the Lord was saying to you and to me, hey, listen. I promise supernatural provision and power for those who are willing to take the first step in natural energy. I promise supernatural energy for those humans who are willing to take their first step in doing God's will in natural energy. Now, we hear a lot about Peter's failures. Let's look at one of Peter's successes in the same chapter, Matthew 14. Verses 28 and 29.
Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus.
Jesus said, come, Peter. Now, Jesus did not go over to Peter and grasp his ankles and take his feet and put his feet over the side of the boat and onto the water. Nope. Peter had to do that himself. Peter had to take the first step in natural ability. Jesus wasn't going to lift Peter out of the boat. Peter had to get out of the boat himself if he was going to believe God for a miracle. And whenever his feet touched that water, immediately God suspended the laws of gravity and Peter walked on the water. So God's saying to you and me, you can walk on water if you'll just take the first step in your own energy. Doris and I started dating the last semester of our junior year in college, and until then, we had always depended on summer jobs to help us through our next year of college. But I had a chance that year to go to South America as a missions intern. Doris had a chance to go to South Dakota to work with an Indian reservation. That meant we wouldn't make no money that year, that summer. But we took a step of faith. We made no money that summer. We did the will of God. Came back to school not really knowing how we were going to make it that senior year. You see, we took the first step in natural energy and then God went to work. Pastor of one of the churches in the town we lived in came to me just before school started and said, James, our board voted this summer. Our board voted to take two students and provide them full scholarship if they would work part-time for our church. I said, I'll take one job, and I know somebody else will take the other one. And I called Arkansas. And so God, he paid for our last year in college because we were willing to take the first step in natural energy. God provided all the supernatural provision we needed. And he's waiting on you and me. He's waiting on us to do his will. Brother, sister, please do what God said to Gideon. Go in the strength you have. And don't talk yourself out of it because you don't feel strong. Look with me at another beautiful example in the life of Jesus. Luke's Gospel, please. Chapter number 17, verses 12 through 14. Here were 10 men who were dying of leprosy. I mean, they were hopeless cases. Luke chapter 17, verses 12 through 14.
As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, Go, show yourself to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed.
Here these men were begging for healing. And what did Jesus do? He said, Go, show yourself to the priest. He didn't pray for them. He didn't pronounce them clean. He just said, Go in the strength you have. So, with their bodies full of leprosy, no visible healing whatsoever, no improvement in their condition, no improvement in the way they felt, what did they do? They took the first step in faith. They headed off to the priest. And the Bible plainly says, as they were going, as they were taking the first step in natural energy, God's supernatural power came upon them, and their bodies were cleansed of this disease. And they were whole. I guarantee you, not one of them would have been healed if they had stood there and said, Jesus, wait a minute, Jesus. I can't go. I'm not healed. Come on, heal me, and then I'll go, Jesus. No, sir. It doesn't work that way. Faith is believing the word of the Lord unconditionally. And so, God was saying, Gideon, go in the strength you have and save Israel. And after arguing with the Lord, and after arguing with himself, trying to talk himself out of doing God's will, Gideon finally did the will of God. But don't misunderstand me. Faith in God did not provide Gideon a feeling of strength. Faith in God did not provide Gideon a feeling of strength. But when he overlooked his feelings of powerlessness, God moved by his mighty power. So overlook your feeling of powerlessness. Overlook your feeling of inadequacy. And take the first step in your own strength. And God will move by his mighty power. Let's look at what God did for Gideon. The last verse, the book of Judges, chapter 7, verse number 22. Here's what God did for a man who was willing to go in the strength he had. Here it says,
When the 300 trumpets sounded, the Lord caused the men throughout the camp to turn on each other with
his
sword.
God calls the enemy army to turn on one another. God's power brought a feeling of panic. The whole enemy army panicked. And in their panic, in their haste, they turned on one another, considered one another enemies. And supernaturally, God destroyed Gideon's enemies. You know, that's the same God who wants to help you become everything he ever dreamed you to be. This is the same God who wants to use you. The God who used Gideon is wanting to take you and me and use us in this day. So, we want to rise up and go in the strength we have and do the will of God. Please stand with me, everybody.